clue that Ray Stevens, the streak, was among the top hits. But McMoney, clearly you found it to be that.
It sure was. It was, I believe, for 3 weeks, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
It was number one for 3 weeks.
Wow. And what a perfect setup for formerly good friend. He may not be after that setup, but we welcome in from Fort Worth, the voice of the TCU Horned Frogs, none other than Brian Estridge. How are you?
I'm doing great, Stu. I remember when you told me about going to see Ray Stevens and Branson on your honeymoon, how good he was. And then I caught a TV special, and I was right there with you, man. This guy was solid, and I don't blame you for doing that.
That's so good. Yeah. You know, Brian and I got to meet each other, 10 years ago, I guess.
Probably, yeah.
ISP, which was the forerunner of now what is IMG Sports. Ben Sutton, the head of that group, used to bring once a year, he would bring all of his play-by-play guys to the headquarters there in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And I have described that as basically 2 days of golf, fun dinner involving a bunch of professional storytellers sitting around telling stories. And it was truly one of the most enjoyable things to do each year. It was a lot of fun.
It becomes a contest of who can talk the loudest, though. And in that group, you know, that's a real contest, too.
Wes Durham, your champion year after year.
Yes, he was.
Right?
Yes. He can two booty he can talk with any of them, as we like to say.
No question. All right. So a couple of nights ago, after the poll is released by the College Football Playoff Committee, you and I do work with Campus Insiders, and had no clue that we're going to be on this deal together. And by the way, I retweeted for our for those that do follow me on Twitter at C Stewart Sports. I tweeted out the link to that. You know, first of all, our segment wasn't but what, 3 minutes.
At the most,
max,
yes.
At the most. Did you notice how much cover footage they went on, both of us?
Oh, I know, yeah.
There's a reason we're radio guys, man.
Yeah, I felt like they weren't happy with our outfits. I really did. I mean, you know, little did they know what I had on underneath the desk,
yeah,
plus what I was wearing above it.
Hence, they call him the Streak, being
that's
your,
right. There you go.
Your lead in. All right,
yeah.
So you and I both kind of shared the other night on campusinsiders.com, but let me get your perspective. You've seen this team, by the way. Clearly, the Horned Frogs can score. Your low point output 30 against the Fighting Jerry Kills of Minnesota, but got to be a fun team to watch on a week in, week out basis.
It is, and I tell you, it's so different, Chris, from what we've seen in years past at a TCU. You know, always known for their defenses under Gary Patterson as a defensive-minded coach. But he made a couple of changes in the offseason and brought in two coordinators that are part of the Mike Leach legacy, really. I mean, they're part of that family tree. And he's come in, Doug Meacham, along with Sonny Cumbie, those two have come in and really revamped the attitude of this offense as much as anything, because the players are generally the same. I mean, we're not talking about an outstanding freshman who's come in here and made a big difference. These are guys who were part of a team last year that really struggled. So I think that I think their influence has been tremendous. Trevon Boykin, the quarterback, starting to get some national attention. And this is a guy that last year couldn't throw it in the ocean at times.
Right.
So, yeah, it's been an about face. How good is this team? I mean, you know, you have to look at where they stand right now and think that they're pretty good. But much like the SEC, much like the SEC West in particular, you know, the Big 12 is a gauntlet every week. And so TCU's gone Oklahoma, Baylor, Oklahoma State, you know, last week's game against Texas Tech, but the next two are difficult on the road at West Virginia, which is a hard place to play, and then still Kansas State the following week. So, you know, I think we'll know here in the next couple of weeks exactly how good this team is.
Talking with the voice of the TCU Horned Frogs, Brian Estridge. All of our guests appear courtesy of the Shock Top Hotline presented by Green Beverage. When you said that about Gary Patterson turning things and the philosophy offensively over to a different look, my first thought was, how tough is that for him to do as a defensive guy? Then I go back to just a few weeks ago when Nick Saban was asked about Lane Kiffin and the things going on with the offense, and he said, look, I've been begging the coordinators to open things up, because it's a whole lot easier to win when you're scoring a bunch than it is just trying to stop the other side. Is he taking that same philosophy of, man, look, not that he's disappointed they're scoring 60 and 80 points. But my point is that something that almost takes the pressure off what those guys are doing on the defensive side to know that you've got that type of capability right now?
You know, it's funny, he has actually said that. And the way he worded it was so that it brings another air of confidence to this defense, knowing, okay, if we don't get a stop here, we're going to take some chances. We're going to try to get after you. But if they burn us, well, okay, I'm up by 14 already. He says that it allows him to take some chances. I thought it was going to be really hard on him, Chris. I've been around him since he got here in 1998 as an assistant. And I thought it was going to be really difficult the first time this offense had a 39-second free play and out drive. And it hasn't been. And maybe that's a product of winning, for one thing. But I think what he did is he took a look at all the offenses that really challenge his defense. You know, what are people doing out there that make it difficult for me to defend, the most difficult? And I fully think that he believes that this is the offense that does that, that pressures his defense the most. And so that's why he elected to go with it. I think for two reasons. One is because it's going to score points, and he knows it's going to be difficult for other teams to defend. But I also fully believe that part of the reasoning is it's going to make his defense better because they have to see it every week in practice.
When you look at what lies ahead, you and I both kind of talked about, you know, where our respective teams that we follow happen to be. Alabama, even though the committee said their best win is West Virginia, to date, they've clearly got opportunities to raise their profile with LSU, Mississippi State, Auburn still on the schedule. You've got a West Virginia team coming up this weekend, a big game at 2:30 in Morgantown, but you've also got ninth-ranked Kansas State. I count TCU in that same spot, like Alabama and quite a few others, frankly, that are even behind us, that can still take care of their own business if they keep winning. Is that the feeling there?
I think it's a control your own destiny. And I think that's what Gary Patterson is telling his team. Listen, you can't stub your toe, but right now the entire world's in front of you. You got an opportunity here to run the table, and if you run the table, and I fully believe this, if TCU runs the table and finishes with one loss, they'll be in that Final Four. Because I believe the Big 12 has that kind of respect nationally. If it doesn't, somebody's not watching. But I fully believe that will be the case. And I think the way the SEC is lined up, look at where the opponents still remain on these teams' calendars that are still in the hunt here. There's going to be some beating up going on. And if Alabama is lucky enough to run the table from here on out, they're going to be in the Final Four because they're going to deserve it. And you know what? They're going to be the last one standing with just one loss, maybe. So I fully believe both of these teams can be in the Final Four if they win out.
Brian Estridge, voice TCU Horned Frogs, our guest here on Tide 99.1, appearing courtesy of the Shock Top Hotline, presented by Green Beverage. You mentioned Gary Patterson coming there in 98 as an assistant to Dennis Franchione, correct?
Yep.
At that time.
I didn't know if you could still mention his name there. I didn't want to do that.
It's still a four-letter word, but time has helped heal the wounds, plus three national titles.
That
ultimately followed. But I do want to get your thoughts. Look, they've done a lot of great things to raise the profile of that program there, and certainly all of the work on the stadium, plus the move into the Big 12 helping tremendously. That job is different, and Gary Patterson is a major reason why. That being said, if Dennis Franchione's career path had not gone as it did, do you think Gary Patterson's a guy that may have moved on before now?
No, I don't think Dennis Franchione's career path has anything to do with it, I'll be honest with you. I think that Gary Patterson has had multiple opportunities to leave.
Right.
I think he sees the value in being at a place that is in the middle of a hotbed in recruiting. I think he sees the value of being in a place where he has some real autonomy to run his program. I think he sees value in a place that will invest in the program. And let's face it, you mentioned the $175 million redo of the stadium. He's got a brand-new state-of-the-art indoor facility. He's got a new locker room. He's got a new weight room. He does not want for anything, not to mention a nearly $4 million a year salary. So I think there have been opportunities for Gary Patterson to leave. I just think he thinks he's got a better job. I think the other thing like this, and I think this is where coaches make a mistake sometimes, Chris. I think Gary Patterson knows that he would not fit everywhere. Does that make sense? I think he knows.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think he knows that he can't go be the head coach at Southern Cal. And I'm just using it as an example.
Right.
Because that's not his style. That's not his persona. He is a ball coach. He wants to talk about defense. He does not want to talk about anything else. He doesn't know a new movie coming out. He might not know who his congressman is. But he knows exactly what every one of the Big 12 is going to do on offense week in and week out. Because not only is he the head coach, but he's essentially the defensive coordinator. He calls the defense.
Sure.
So he knows he can't fit everywhere. And you know what? I respect that in him, that some of the jobs that he had opportunities to take, he looked at them. And on paper, they may have been better than TCU, but he realized, you know what, that's not for me. That's not a place where I'd fit in.
Yeah, and that was really my point, because when you – first of all, there are a lot of places paying enough money for you to be happy, okay, doing things like you're talking about at TCU. They made that job even better than it was, and it's never been a bad job, but it's certainly a better job.
I think there were years when it was bad. I think there were years – In the 70s and you know, Jim Wacker had a run in the 80s, but in the 90s as the Southwest Conference broke up, I think this was a bad job. I think they quit being committed to football, and Pat Sullivan, unfortunately, was a victim of that.
Right. No, I agree with you. I want to ask you, though, I don't know if you talked with Fran, but I'm looking. He's sitting there at 4-3 at Texas State, a place he had been before. Do you think he's happy there? Is we're talking about being happy where you are, or do you think he'd like to make a last run somewhere?
Yeah, I don't think he's got another one in him. I think, and that may not be his choice, if you know what I mean.
I do.
I think people will look at Dennis Franchione in the end when all is said and done, and they'll say there's a quality football coach who had an unbelievable opportunity at Alabama that he blew to go to a place that he thought he could be a long-term winner at A&M, that obviously where you can win big at Texas A&M. But he might have gotten a little too big for his britches. And I think that might – I think in the end, that's what the – I think that's what the Wikipedia page will say. You know, at the top of it, it may say, you know, he got too big for his britches. And unfortunately, that's going to limit his next move. Now, do I think – you asked, is he happy at Texas State? He is. And I have talked to him He's got a terrific house down on a wonderful golf course south of San Marcos called Escondido, which is an outstanding place. And he's just coaching ball.
Yeah.
And so it's a different level of happiness because, I mean, those guys all like to have the ego stroked. But I think he's having a good time.
But, you know, you said fit in coaching ball. And, see, I think that applied with Fram because I think about 350 days out of the year – he really liked what came with being the coach at Alabama. But I think he wanted to be able to step away from it for a little bit, and you can't do that.
No, I think he wanted to be able to go to dinner and not have, you know, his table surrounded. And you're right. At Alabama, you just can't do that. And that, maybe he wasn't prepared for that. You know, he'd been the head coach in New Mexico where he'd done a nice job. But, you know, listen, New Mexico is a basketball school. You know, here at TCU, he got TCU in the Sun Bowl, and he got him to 10 wins. But, I mean, TCU was still kind of rebounding from years of neglect, so the fan base wasn't exactly emotionally committed to it. And it's not a big state school like Alabama. And I think he maybe wasn't prepared for that. Now, what made him think that he could go to A&M and do it, you know, I think in the end may have gotten him too. So I think that was just a case of, like, we go back to that conversation about Gary Patterson. Knowing what you want and knowing where you'll fit in.
Great to talk to you. I hope we get a chance to do this in person here in about 2 months somewhere. It'd be a lot of fun, but greatly appreciate the time and good luck to you guys the rest of the way.
Are you still married to that lovely wife of yours?
I am still married to that lovely wife of mine. I am indeed.
Wow. If she ever sobers up, you might be in trouble. Just so
yeah,
you know.
If she comes off the meds, I got real problems.
Yes, you do.
See you, bro.
Proud of you, man.